from this world of darkness which come the evil, destructive forces of man.
You've got me shaking from the way you're talking.
Hey, and welcome back to Extra Features Interview. Today, I have a welcome surprise for myself. I have Lou Simons here. I have two actors in the film Three, which weren't supposed to be here. Makes me very happy when I get surprises. Welcome, everybody. Introduce yourselves to the show, because I was only expecting one.
All right. Next to me is Todd Bruno, who is the star of this film.
It's an ensemble cast. The true star is Aniela McGinnis, who's in the middle here.
And then we've got Lou Simon, who is, as you know, is the actual star, who wrote and directed it.
I think she's the real star, because without her, we don't have you guys.
She is. I'm just their boss. I pay them to say nice things about me. So.
Well, you didn't pay me anything, so I'm going to say nice things about you. I want to start off at the beginning. You have very, very high production values, I noticed. For an indie, I really liked it. I know you had a small budget. I can tell by location and makeup and stuff like that. But I liked the shooting. Like, it looks like you pretended you have money, is what I'm trying to say.
We pretend we have money all the time.
I liked it.
I'm so glad. It's always so nice to hear.
Well, I watch a lot of indie productions, and sometimes they're really not quite up to the standard I would consider for their budget. You know what I mean? Sometimes they have a little bit more money, and they didn't. But you used your money well, I thought.
Thank you. I mean, I purposely wanted to write something that was, like, in one location so that we didn't spend a lot of money, like, moving around and all that stuff. All that stuff adds so much to the budget. So by trying to keep it in one location, we could optimize what little budget we had to make it look as good as possible.
Okay, so since I just got one quick question before I got – you got the main scene. The guy is reading his phone while he's driving. It was a big no-no to me. But he doesn't know where he's going. I called that out first. I'm like, that's wrong. He should not be reading his phone.
Well, that's why bad things happen to him.
Well, that's what I was thinking. He should have known ahead of time not to read your phone.
Yes, it's a lesson. Don't be on your phone while driving. Bad things may happen to you.
So
it's really like a film is a 90-minute public service announcement.
And it probably is. Now, I want to, sorry, Lou, I have most of these questions geared to you, but I want you two to chime in, because that's what I was perfecting. Without your writing and the strong performance by your two actors, I mean, I know the film's called The Three, but it really is you two that sells the film to me.
Thank you. I still have to get our third leg that is missing right now is incredible.
Yeah.
We had an amazing group.
Yeah. We had worked together before, so we were kind of already family, but Mike, it was our first time working with him, and he stepped in and joined the family right away without missing a step, and it was fantastic. He's, I think he did an incredible job.
So,
and I think he does a really amazing job of having you root for him, whether or not you think he did it. You're still feeling bad for him and still rooting for him because you feel so bad about the torture he's being put through.
I think your lead actress beside you is the main reason why I was convinced he had done it at the beginning. You had me 100% convinced. You're going into torture. I get your job. You know what you're going to do. I'm fine with that. And then you kept slipping in things to make me think maybe he doesn't know. Because your lead lady here is going, the male is coming back to the female, because him and her, and you guys keep giving me hints. And then by the end, I'm like, okay, I'm really not sure now. And I love that part of the film. I think you guys did a great job. Without you two having good chemistry, this film doesn't work. I mean, Mike does a good job preparing. He has no idea what's going on. I'll give him that. But if you two don't convince me that you have to convince him what's going on, I got a problem.
Yes.
So the chemistry was great between you two. I was going to bring that up anyway. I was very happy.
Thanks so much.
Now, little things like this. Where did you find the house? Because that's always a big problem with indie is finding locations.
The house was, it was a tough find. We ended up having to shoot in Chattanooga just because he was the uncle of a friend of ours. And, you know, it was a blessing and a curse at the same time because it was a difficult place to shoot. We had rented the house for an entire month, and somehow we got there and there were people living there.
What?
Yes. 5 people, you know, at that. So we ended up having to work around them, and it was tough.
Hold on.
So it looks great on camera, but it was a nightmare in real life.
Hold on. I want to back this up just a bit. You rented a house that was supposed to be empty.
Mm-hmm.
And and obviously you have rooms out for your actors and your crew people, and there's 5 people in the house.
Yeah. The day before, I was still going, and there's nobody there, right? And how many beds, and let me see so I can figure out who was going to sleep what, because we were staying in the house and we were filming. And he was like, yeah, and there's a bed here, and there's a bed there, and we got there, and none of that was true. There were people living there. I mean, they knew we were coming, so we were ready to film, but we had to work around them and the noise and their television. One of them was a woman who was retired, so she was home 24 hours a day. And her dog, and she would tell us off all the time, which was a lot of fun.
That's why I looked absolutely afraid in several scenes, because we actually had outside motivation of fear.
It was real fear. Yeah, she wasn't very happy about us being there. At all, if I remember correctly.
We have great footage of her telling us off.
Yes.
But at the same time, we had, super inconvenient to have all these people living there. But one of the tenants, who was just the most incredible man, he absolutely was like a cheerleader, was a huge movie fan. We signed posters for him, and he was just thrilled that we were there, and was very kind. Yeah. So I got to give him credit.
Yes. No, he knows that we love him.
Yes.
Okay. So now I have to get into this even more, because this is so cool. Did you guys cook for these people, try to be nice to them, or did they cook for you, or you just had nothing to do with them?
No, the very first day, they had a bunch of people over. So there was even more people than them, because they had friends who were, like, all excited about this movie being shot there, and we had our crafty table out, and I come in, and they're just sitting there eating all our food, and it was like, that's ours, you're not part of the crew, so I think you should probably go. It was, the first couple of days were probably the most tense-filled days I've ever had on a set. It was a nightmare, because we were trying to find another location. Just, nobody was from Chattanooga, so everybody was coming in, so it wasn't like we could just, you know, okay, we'll just reschedule it. It was like, okay, it has to be done now, so what do we do? Okay, let's try to find another location. And we couldn't find one. So after that, we just made the best of it. But yeah, the first couple of days, it was a nightmare.
Well, and you asked about the cooking. The owner did try to cook for us during the scenes to fry things. So also we're like, what's
and the sound guy has his, you know, thing on. He's like, I hear this weird noise in the background.
We were looking at him, like, yeah. And it ended up being, he was frying fried green tomatoes for us, which was delicious, but not at the right time. But they tried cooking at one point.
Oh my God, this is too funny. This is great. Because your film is so serious. Like, there's no comedy in this film. And it's intense from the get-go.
Yeah, and yet, the behind-the-scenes is all jokes. Because their specialty is actually comedy, and so is mine. So none of them, like, that's not their natural things to do, horror or dramas. So it was, they basically had everybody laughing the entire time. Including the bravest thing. That had to be the funniest thing that ever happened.
I feel like Astro TV put around my comment, we don't think rape is funny, just in this situation, it was.
It's just that there was so much tension in the room, and then all of a sudden, somebody cracked a joke, and that was it. Like, everybody just couldn't stop laughing at that point, because everybody was so tense that all of a sudden, when the floodgates opened, we couldn't stop laughing, so we actually had to, like, stop shooting. Filming for like half an hour.
I think, actually, strangely enough, I think the crew was more tense than the actors.
Because you guys have been drinking.
Wow. That helps a little bit, yeah.
Oh, my God. This is sorry. Sometimes on Skype. When you wrote the script, did you plan on slipping things in, like the TV for the viewers?
Tell you?
When I'm watching the film, there's little hints at things in the film. I don't want to kind of ruin it. I want people to discover it for themselves. Was that planned ahead of time to put images on the TV? Because, I mean, each one of you, the writer gives me some, him and her give me ideas.
I mean, yeah. I definitely wanted to, each time that another scene happens, you get a smaller clue to the twist.
Yeah, but I don't know if you could see your twist coming. I mean, it was amazing. I love the twist because I was totally taking it a different way, and I will tell you when we're off the air how I took the twist because I don't want to ruin it. But, again, it's the chemistry of the lead. You had me convinced that something was going to happen, that something was false. I was good with that. But I didn't see the other fault, the double twist, I would call it.
Yeah, nobody sees that one. But they're clues. There's plenty of clues. Like, I've had somebody say, well, there were no clues. I'm like, yes, there were. There were. And that's the thing. It's a very dialogue-heavy movie. So if you miss them saying something, you're not going to get, you know, the clue. Because it all comes out of dialogue, basically. Because, you know, they'll say something, and it's something very minor that might not seem very important, but it actually is a clue towards one of those clues.
I think one of the coolest things, and actually Lou talked about it, is all the clues that she put in scripts all the way through that people may not catch. I mean, there are some that people are going to catch, the more obvious ones, but then there are some super subtle ones that they're not going to catch on the first viewing. And I think she did a really good job at it, is it's going to give the movie rewatch value. So people can see it a second time and go back and see all those clues that they missed the first time.
Yeah, I would definitely say this film has a good rewatchability because there's stuff I want to rewatch it myself now because there's stuff I missed. And I know there's stuff I missed because I know the ending.
Right.
And like I said, it's all up to your writing and your leads portraying that idea in my head. And it works so well for me. Now, how did it feel to go to the basement with an axe and hit Mike?
that felt really good, actually. those days, we were shooting a lot of pages those days, if I remember correctly. Those basement scenes, there was one day we had to shoot 13 pages.
Oh, wow.
Getting to do something physical like that instead of having dialogue, it was a cool break to the day. It was like, okay, now I get to run downstairs with an axe, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun, actually. It was a lot of fun. That and I'm trying to, like, tiptoe over spoilers. The hammer was a lot of fun, too.
Well, I love the fact that the only person who actually got hurt on set was Todd and the Saran Wrap.
True.
He got cut with a Saran Wrap thing.
Yeah.
And it bled forever. For
yeah.
Some reason.
I got the Saran Wrap.
The dispenser?
See, the dispenser. Yeah. They have a little. Thing to tear the Saran Wrap. And when I was tearing it, I sliced my hand. And it bled. It was a tiny cut, but it bled forever and ever and ever. That was the only injury.
Well, come on, you're very skilled at things. You've even told us during the film you know how to administer things to keep them lasting longer, and he won't bleed out. So we know you're good.
Oh, sure, yeah. I should have been able to make that cut stop bleeding, right?
Yeah.
He plays that on movies, but in real life, he's just an
actor. Now, going back to the old TV, was that planned to have a super old TV?
No, that was actually in the house. We were just going to use whatever TV was there. and that TV that was there, I was like, oh, how perfect is that?
I thought it kind of worked for the scene. I really thought it worked for the images you were portraying on it, because you kind of need something to help me out a bit, because I'm guessing a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it did have the rabbit ears in the script, so I brought the rabbit ears, thinking that I was going to have to put it to whatever TV was there, and now we're going to go, like, I don't know, Walmart and get a TV or something. But it turned out that there was this really old TV there, and I was like, ha, perfect.
I mean, that house was its own character for us.
Yes.
Even though it had its challenges.
It was a death trap.
It was a death trap. Absolutely.
Did you tell them about the living room?
No, not yet.
Oh, the house was a death trap.
Okay, now I need to ask, what about the living room? Because, I mean, her spends a lot of time in the living room with him.
Mm-hmm.
So the living room, the part that you can't see, is that there's no floor. There's this huge cavernous basement below the house that literally is like a cavern. And the homeowner had promised that the floor would be finished by the time we got there to shoot. We arrive and the floor is not finished.
It's not there.
It's not.
There's floor.
No floor. It's a pit.
It's exposed beams and a dungeon that's got a 10-foot drop below.
So the sofa is actually balanced on these,
plywood.
4x8s. Yeah, they're just spanning across this chasm is the sofa, and then every time we have to walk up to it, we're walking along a 4x8 plank to get to the sofa, and on either side of that plank, it just drops 20 feet. So it was literally a death trap. And aside from that, everything was bouncing,
yeah,
which was giving the camera fits.
Well, I don't see any of that in the film, but that makes sense. I always see the same shot in the living room. It's always the same shot of the lady, always the same shot of you.
That's why.
Now I know why.
Yeah, and we're gonna die. This is not really the living room per se. It's like a sunroom. It has like glass windows all around, We saw the location before I wrote the script. So I wrote three scenes in that room thinking, oh my God, that's going to look amazing on camera. And then all of a sudden, we get there and it's like, oh God, there's no floor.
There's no floor.
It looks great because all you see is this beautiful glass and green, you know, behind her, but the reality is that you can't see, like, underneath her feet.
That's insane.
Below the frame is this endless pit, this abyss.
Yeah, we were just, like, acting over an open gateway to hell.
These all
that.
Need to be on
yes,
the DVD.
But honestly, I think that made our cast love each other that much. And we had a common enemy.
Nice.
So it made us, you know, we got along well in that sense because we all had to work together. And I think that's kind of rare when you're on such an indie film with such tight hours, it's, you know, small budget, and yet since it was like going through this war together, and so we really bonded and were supportive, and
it was like summer camp with your friends where you just happen to be making a movie.
Yes.
In Afghanistan.
So was below the floor where Mike was captured or held, I guess is what I'm trying to say, so you could see the torture room right below him?
Right, yes. That was beneath that room with that space where we shot the scene where he's lying down.
Okay.
That was beneath that room.
So when you were writing the script, Lou, did you know your actors were coming? You already had everything planned ahead of time or no?
Yeah. Well, the script really was originally written for Aniela. Aniela was supposed to be in my last film, All Girls Weekend, and right as we were about to start filming, she got diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I'm doing well now, so now we can just laugh at it.
Well, if you say so.
So at the time, she said, "Look, I'm not going to be able to do the film." And I said, "Don't worry." did she have a scene where you show your breasts? And she was like, hell yeah, I take off my top all the time now. What I love about Lou is, besides the fact that she wrote a movie and let me be in it, was the fact that if you look at Lou's old movies, she doesn't have any women topless. Women are never objectified in her films. It's only the men that are objectified. And so, when she asked about this one, I knew that she was going to be respectful and, like, it was going to have such authenticity to it, and it wasn't going to be exploitative of my what I've been through. And so Lou's amazing.
I think I'm gonna say that. She does.
No.
It wasn't gratuitous. It was central to the plot.
Yes.
I was just about to say that. I think I kind of, your character, him, really pushes that scene to her, saying, how do I know what you're telling me is real? And, I mean, me as a viewer, because at that point I have questions. They're developing. I will fully admit that. And you're doing them like, oh, okay. But I thought it was very tastefully done. Like, I didn't think it was just there for to have breasts. It definitely convinced me, okay, well, maybe this did happen.
Right. And that was the thing. So how do you convince him that it really happened unless there's some kind of proof? You know, because otherwise this is her work against this guy. So I needed something that was physical that she could show. So I needed that, and I thought, well, this could fit in really perfectly well with Anila and this written for her anyway. But so she was always a given, and then Todd and I have been trying to actually produce something together forever. He's one of the producers of this song. You started it, and so really the only casting we did was for Mike. Mm. But since I had already worked with both of them together, and there were a couple in that film, it was very like a very natural, thing to work with them together and have them be together on film.
So what have you guys been doing with the film? Have you been going to film festivals? Have you been sending it to people like me? What have you been up to with it?
Well, we did the festival run last year from July to November, I think was the last one. And then we got picked up for distribution by Uncorked Entertainment, and now it's being released tomorrow.
Oh, wow, look at that. I'm right on time. Perfect, I made it.
Tomorrow, August 7th, on VOD, and then September 11th, it comes out on DVD.
Awesome. And there's going to be a lovely commentary track, I hope, because you've got some great stories already.
We were thinking of recording one because we do have really good stories, but it doesn't have it's a behind-the-scenes making of video, and it shows a lot of it shows pictures of or video of us trying to put the flooring together, and then it shows what the basement looks like and how it was being held up sometimes by, like, just some stink. Oh my gosh. One corner was being held up by a couple bricks and some like stitch were right. Oh my god. But you're right. I think it needs a commentary. But the funny thing is, the commentary will be hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might take away from the.
Glad you didn't lean on that post because the whole basement would have caved in, stuff like that, which is probably true. Actually, the whole entire basement would have caved in, or just one step to the right, 20 feet down.
Since I have three of you, can we play my favorite game called Fun Questions?
Sure.
Okay, because if you haven't heard one of my interviews, I make up questions every time. So sometimes I change them, sometimes I don't. But these are really easy to start you off. First one is your favorite film.
Sons of the Lambs. Forrest Gump.
I've only been able to narrow it down to five. Shoot, Jaws.
Well, that's a great film. Nobody beats Jaws. Okay, it's Friday night. You have people over. What film do you put on?
Probably Aliens. Some cat videos on YouTube.
Good God.
I'm not going to your house.
The Princess Bride.
Okay, the hardest question. I'm looking at your DVD shelf. What film should not be there?
DVD, what?
On your DVD shelf, what film should not be there?
That one? Oh, our personal one. Our personal DVD shelf. Is that what
you're saying? Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm looking right now. Oh, goodness. That's a hard one.
Everybody has one film.
There's a reason why they're on.
Mine is easy. Armageddon.
Should not be there.
Yeah.
I don't own DVDs anymore.
Oh, see, that's a fair one, then.
For me, I actually don't have any. Ocean's 13.
Yeah, that should not be there. I agree.
Honestly, Red for show.
Okay, so you guys are in Tennessee, right? No, am I right? Where do you guys live? I don't even know.
I live in Atlanta.
Okay, then this question will work.
Mm-hmm. Todd and I both live in Hollywood.
Not together.
No,
okay.
No, definitely.
Okay.
And it's Hollywood, Florida, not California.
Oh, Florida. I think they have one. I don't know. So, have you ever been to Chick-fil-A, and do you like it?
Yes, I love Chick-fil-A, but I'm a huge liberal, so I feel sad because I'm, like, super pro-gay rights, and then I'm like, oh, but this chicken's so good.
I agree, except, ew. No, yeah, I have been to Chick-fil-A, and no, I don't like it. It's gross.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have, but I no longer eat meat, so.
There you go.
I'm just a jerk in this situation. Pretty much you.
Same problem. I only've had Chick-fil-A once in my life. We don't have it up here. It's coming. So I'm like, it was so good. I'm like, I have to go back. I'm just going to do it. Well, I want to thank you all for your time.
Thank you for having us. And thank you for letting us to, I feel like we crashed your interview.
We totally crashed.
No, it was awesome. It was great. And again, I'm going to tell you on air right now that the Skype had a little bit of issues. So if you hate it, I promise to redo it for you, okay?
Okay.
I promise. No, so thank you for your time. You guys were all great. And don't hang up. Goodbye.
Okay. Good night.